who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, May the 26th, 2007. Frank Mazzullo, Jr. is the speaker of this service, teaching on rejection.
The rest of the night is yours. There's no windows to fall out of at 12 o'clock.
And there's no windows here, so lock the door. I got you now. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Glenn, thank you for inviting me here to preach the good news and to minister. Many of you saw that I was out here dancing on the floor, and I know that you come from different congregations that don't do that. I also know that, and I don't want to embarrass you, but some of you may be spiritually constipated. And you need to learn how to get out and worship Jesus Christ like King David worshiped the Lord, and just get loose, get free. No, get loose and free in the Lord. Worship the King. You know, it'll set you free when you just kind of let your hair down. Amen? So, when you go back to your other churches, you can be spiritually constipated again, or take the freedom with you, whichever you choose. But thank you, Father. Okay, for starting the tape, my name is Frank Mazzullo, Jr. My father, some of you know, passed away a few years back, and I've been following in his footsteps. And my talk to you tonight is going to be on rejection, a condemning spirit, rejection. And what I'd like to do is to start off with what happened to me this morning. This morning I was taking a shower, and when I came out of the shower, of course, I had forgot to throw the switch, and the fan was off. So when I got out of the shower, the mirror was really foggy, and I went to go look in the mirror, and I really couldn't see my face. It was all foggy. And I had to take a towel and rub it off so I could see my face and shave my whiskers. And I came to understand that that was the Holy Spirit speaking to me to introduce this message to you. A lot of times we need to get through the fog to see the face of the Lord and how He looks at us. And sometimes our mirror is foggy, and we need to put a little something on a mirror to wipe it away so we can see. Well, tonight we're going to wipe away some of the things that have kept you bound, that you cannot see how God sees you. And I'm going to share with you first, open your Bibles to Psalm 139. And we're going to start at verse 7. I'm reading from the New American Standard in case you're wondering what Bible. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. Watch this now. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be like night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. Now, you can't hide from God. You can't flee from Him. And then He goes on to say, you form me, you form my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Well, the problem with rejection is that your soul does not know it well, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. The problem is that you do not see yourself the way God sees you. And so I'll follow on here. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. And now, family, some of you have been in a slumber and a sleep, and the Lord wants to wake you from that tonight. He wants you to see who you are the way He sees you. He wants you to see that you're precious, that you are skillfully and wonderfully made, and that He has plans for you. How vast is the sum of them? His thoughts are wonderful towards us. And then we think of ourselves as junk. We think of ourselves as something not perfect, something put down, something pushed aside. And the Lord says, do you love me? I love you. I love you so much. I think of you so much. This is what the Lord is saying to you. I think of you so much that the sands on the shore couldn't even contain the thoughts that I think of you and how much I love you. Now, with that as a backdrop, I'm going to bring you a teaching on rejection. I'm going to teach you, first of all, that you are in bondage and the way you see yourself. 2 Timothy 2:24, it says that the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all. I know this teaching and this lesson focuses, as we're starting off, it's talking about the bondservant, but are we not all bondservants of the Lord? All right? And so this teaching is actually designed for leadership on how to lead. But it also includes us too, because we are bondservants of the Lord. Be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. In the King James Version, it says opposition to themselves. I want you to keep that thought in your mind, because you can be opposing yourself too, as well as in opposition. Now let me continue in the chapter. If perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Many times I find Christians are held captive by Satan to do his will. And it's because they need to escape from the snare of the enemy. The enemy's got them. And a matter of speaking, you know, of course, you know, he doesn't have you in church, right? Yeah, right. You brought the same type of thinking that you came in the door with, and you're sitting here with it. He's got you here too. So what we're going to do is we're going to get rid of some of that. Who was that? Landry's wife. What's her name?
Alberta.
I love it when she talks about stinking thinking. All right, we're going to get rid of some of that stinking thinking, and come to our senses and escape from the snare of the devil being held captive by him to do his will. And one of the devil's characteristics, by the way, in John 10:10, he says, the word Jesus is describing the enemy, John 10:10. He says, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He gives all the characteristics of the devil and all the work that the devil's going to do on you or to you. Steal, kill, and destroy. So if you're being ripped off or stolen from by theft, destruction, or death, right? The death of your job, the death of this, the death of that, the death of your health, the destruction of something in your life, that's the enemy's work. And so what Jesus is saying, that this is what the enemy does, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he can get you to do that in your mind against you, you see this? If he can get you to oppose yourself, oppose others, oppose leadership, then he's destroying you. He's destroying you. He's keeping your family and yourself in captivity. He's keeping you in captivity and destruction through rejection. Now, the devil takes advantage of every incident that happens in life. Every tragedy, everything that happened to you as a person in life to take control or attempt to take control of your mind. This is what the devil's going to do. Because if, you know, whoever controls your mind, be it God or be Satan, is the master of that mind. You know that, don't you? If God is controlling your mind, then you're going to be leading and walking a righteous life. If the devil is controlling your mind, you're going to walk in unrighteousness. And so rejection is one of the most powerful weapons that the enemy has against us. I remember reading one time in one of the Derek Prince books that that there's two forms of the way the enemy can come in. He can come in through rejection or rebellion. Those are the two major ways that he comes into our lives. Rejection or rebellion. And so most of the time we're talking about our sin. But now I'm going to talk about something that happened to you. Some wounds that happened to you. And rejection, by the way, can ruin our lives. It can ruin it. It's a trick. It's a scheme of the devil. It's really a scheme of the devil to keep you captive, to keep you in his snare, to keep you in opposition to yourself. And so I asked the Lord, how does this work? How does this work? And he showed me a pregnant woman. How did that happen? The seed. There was a seed planted in the woman. How does rejection happen? There's a seed planted. And so when I say there's a seed planted, something happened in your life, a tragedy, a trauma, a disappointment, a misfortune, and there was a seed planted in there. And it's a seed that impregnated you. Satan impregnated you with a seed of rejection. And then as your life goes on, it grows and it develops into something. It grows and develops into something. And the Holy Spirit showed me that there's a law and effect on how rejection works. Everyone knows that this is Romans 8, 1 and 2. Do you remember it? Okay. It goes like this. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Condemnation is rejection. It is rejection. Condemnation means you are condemned. Rejection means you are condemned. You don't feel accepted by God. You don't feel accepted by man. And so what happens is that there's a law that is in operation against you when you live in condemnation or rejection. It is a voice. It is the bondage of the law of sin and death. Now, as I was doing a study on this, I remember the word paradigm. Does everybody know what a paradigm is? No. Okay. Paradigm. P-A-R-A-D-E-D-I-E-M. Paradigm. It's a set of assumptions, concepts, values, practices that constitute a way of viewing reality as you see it. All right. So, here's what a paradigm is. A paradigm is you've gone through life. Life has happened to you. And as you're going through your life, you're viewing life and a concept. You're viewing these things. And what has happened is you're forming thought patterns about what is right and wrong according to what has happened to you. You get the idea? Okay? And so this is called a paradigm. And what has happened is Satan comes in and he wants to destroy the way that you look and view at yourself. So he attaches himself in this thought process and creates false paradigms. And you live in false paradigms because that's where he wants to keep you in bondage. You see it? Turn in your Bibles now to 2 Corinthians. You know these scriptures. Come on. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. Correction, we'll start at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. For we are destroying speculations and every lawful thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, in viewing a paradigm, there's a warfare going on in your mind about your thought process. You see, whoever controls your mind controls you. You understand that? So there's thought processes and patterns that have to be pulled down, ripped down. Divine warfare for the destruction of fortresses. These are strongholds in your mind. These are strongholds in your mind. And we are destroying speculations. What's a speculation? What's a speculation? It's a thought process. Or vain thinking. Stinking thinking. It's a thought process. So what the Word of God is saying is that there are thought processes in your mind that are vain imaginations, speculations that the enemy has taken advantage of that must be torn down. You see it? Am I spitting on you when I talk? No. And so we're supposed to demolish these thought processes. And in some of your Bibles it says demolish. And the New International says we demolish arguments and pretenses that set itself up against the knowledge of God. And the King James Version, it says, casting down imaginations. What's imaginations? Prideful thinking. It's warped philosophies. It's wrong assumptions. Wrong patterns of assumptions. False pretenses. This is what it means. It's connected thought patterns that make us view facts and truth and twist it so that it's in opposition to God, to man, and ourselves. You see? And so that's what I'm going to be talking to you about tonight, about this. Praise the Lord. I got a list from a clinical psychologist on what profile a person has who has got a rejection type of a personality, who feels that way. And here's a list of what I got. This is what a person views himself as. Now see if you fit in here, okay? Some of you. I don't deserve love. I want you to see this. I don't deserve love. I'm a bad person. I'm terrible. I'm worthless. I'm shameful. I'm not lovable. I'm not good enough. I deserve only bad things. I'm permanently damaged. I'm ugly. I don't deserve. I'm stupid. I'm insignificant. I'm a disappointment. I deserve to die. I deserve to be miserable. I'm different. I don't belong. Anybody ever feel that way? Don't raise your hand. Rejection is at work in your life, if you ever did. Rejection is. Now watch this. On the basis of responsibility, here's how rejection works. I should have done something. I did do something wrong. I should have known better. I cannot be trusted. I cannot trust myself. I cannot trust my judgment. I cannot trust anyone. I cannot protect myself. I'm in danger. It's okay to feel. It's not okay to feel and show my emotions. I'll be like a brick, like a rock. I cannot stand up for myself. I need somebody else to stand up for me. I cannot let it out. I'm not in control. I am powerless. I am weak. I'm a failure. I cannot succeed. I cannot stand it. I'm inadequate. I cannot trust anyone. Now, some of you, I'm hitting home on. Some of you, you actually view yourself this way. You view yourself this way. I know that there's one in here, one thing that I said in here that I was locked in until about 5 years ago. And I've been a walking, talking Christian since 1977. But there was one thing in this list that I said that I was locked into. And it was the enemy. He was always on my shoulder. You know, the Revelation 12:11 says that the enemy stands day and night accusing the brethren. Right? But there was one thing that I said that I was locked into. And I'll tell you what, the devil hammered me for my whole Christian walk up until about 5 years ago over this one thing. And it was, I should have done something. And what happens is this rejection, this shame, this condemnation came upon me when I should have done something and I didn't do it. And somebody got hurt because of it. You know, it was a bad thing. It was a tragedy. It was a bad thing. Somebody, I should have done something. And I could have prevented it, and I didn't in my earlier walk. And I just let things go. And some of you, the enemy's right on your shoulder, and he's accusing you day and night in front of the throne of God. But at the same time, he's on your back, and he's saying things to you, and he's saying this to you, and you should have done it. You didn't do it, and it's truth. And it's truth. It's not a lie. It's the real thing. It's truth. That's rejection too. And so, I want you to learn to recognize how to deal with this. I'm going to say something that's going to be radical. I'm going to say something that will set you free from that type of accusation from the enemy. I've learned, and what set me free, I learned that when the enemy has accused me of something that was true, and I knew it, I agreed with him. Now, that's something you never heard before, is it? You did, right? I agreed with him. I said, yeah, you're right, devil. Yeah, you're right, devil. I didn't do it. I should have done it. I could have done it. I didn't. But now, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I should have done it. I didn't do it. But I'm not going to let you hammer me with this anymore, because the blood of Jesus has set me free. Amen. We overcome the enemy by what? The blood of the Lamb and our testimony. What is our testimony? The blood of Jesus has set me free. That's our testimony. Hallelujah. And so when the devil hammers you and he says, you should have done it, and some of you here have, you know, should have done it, And you didn't. You could have. You didn't do the right thing. You did the wrong thing. You should have done. But when he does that, say, okay, you're right. That defuses him completely. You know, he has no more room to stand on anymore. You can't stand on it anymore. You can't point to you anymore and say, you can't do it anymore. All right, you're right. The blood. Always point to the blood. The blood of Jesus. All right, let's move along. Learn to recognize the difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation. Condemnation makes you look at you. Condemnation always makes you look at you. It forces you to look at you in shameful ways, in condemning ways. Right? Conviction makes you look towards the Lord for the way out. Right? Conviction is makes you look at God for freedom. Condemnation makes you look at you for bondage. Now, rejection means, I looked this word up in the dictionary because I wanted a clearer meaning of it, and I wanted to share the meaning of it with you. Rejection means to refuse to have, or refuse to take, or refuse to recognize, or refuse to grant, to refuse to accept, to throw away, to discard, to refuse is useless, unsatisfactory, to cast out, to eject or vomit, to cast off. Something rejected as imperfect, unsatisfactory, unworthy, to cast aside, and is no longer useful to discard. Now, remember what I said about Ephesians 6:11 says to take a stand against the schemes of the enemy. One of the schemes of the enemy, one of the strategies of the devil, is to incapacitate and render useless you so that you cannot wage war against him. He wants to render the whole human race that way too. And one of this powerful tool that he uses is rejection. He wants to, if he can succeed in making you feel useless, thrown away, discarded, imperfect, unaccepted, then he's victorious in our life. You see that? Now, remember that he's a liar. The devil's a liar. John 8:44, the devil's a liar and the father of lies. And he knows our sins and he knows our wounds and he uses memory recall to do it. To bring it right up to us. It's kind of like throwing salt in a wound. And so rejection may be active. If you're writing this down, it may be active, passive, real, or imaginary. Remember the paradigm? False thinking, false set of assumptions. And so it could warp our mind that way, imaginary. In any case, whichever way it is, if it's real or if it's passive, if it's active or imaginary, in any way that it is, it robs Jesus Christ of his rightful position in our life, and it robs you of having life abundantly. And so rejection depresses and it condemns, and it can happen anywhere from the womb to the tomb. Many of you were here, some of you were here. Who was here the last time my wife was here? Raise your hand. Some, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 5. She brought a teaching on rejection from the womb. And she used this Easter egg, this big plastic Easter egg, and inside was another one, and inside of it was another one. And how the shell happens over each time that one was rejected. And she got this because rejection started from her mother's womb. Her mother told her later on in life, when she was growing up, I never really wanted you. I wanted to abort you, and I couldn't abort you because I found out I was too late in my pregnancy. And at that time in history, we were not allowed to have abortions. So, nice mom, huh? And so, by the way, she was led to Jesus Christ later on, so don't judge her, okay? So what happened is that rejection happened in my wife, and she grew up underneath two men ministering to her. I was a minister to her. I ministered, commanded the spirit of rejection out, and you know, my dad did too. And she went to different meetings and so forth and so on. And she always felt this thing that was really in her. Well, guess what? It came in through the mother's womb, and she felt it from there. She felt it in the womb. So it can come in through the womb. It could even come in through generational curses going back years in the family line, in the history. Rejection could happen from the womb to the tomb, like I said before. And so it could come in through life experiences, not being loved, not being appreciated, pushed aside, unwelcome, made to look foolish, made to look useless. You may have had alcoholic or drug-addicted parents that really either abused you or neglected you, that would cause or ignored you, incest, rape, fornication. There's so many different ways that rejection can enter a person through abuse or misuse of your life. And there's three types of abuse, by the way, if you're writing down. Verbal, physical, and sexual. Verbal, physical, and sexual. And there was a survey done in a federal prison. They found out 100% of the men in this prison had some form of rejection, whether it be verbal, physical, or sexual in their life. Can you imagine that? 100% of the men that were in that prison, federal prison. So you can see the effects that a rejection would have in our society. And one out of every four females and one out of every eight males has been sexually abused. One out of every four females. That's a lot. That's a lot. And so a victim of fondling, sodomy, incest, rape, sexual abuse creates an extreme instability in a personality and its victims. These wounds are usually suppressed, are buried deep inside. And by the way, most of these sexual abuses come from a close family member too. I'm gonna focus in on this one a little bit so that, because there's a lot of that. And then what happens out of that, there's a strong hatred for the abuser. If it's a man being abused, there's a strong hatred for a woman. There's a strong hatred for men if it's a woman being abused. And they grow up that way. Negative feelings and attitudes towards men resulting in bondage. And in the case of sexual abuse, guilt, shame, and defilement could be crushing to a woman. This suppression causes marital rejection. So if you were abused before you got married, and then you get married, this would cause marital rejection. No communication, no friendship, and no love. Eventually, sexual rejection. The husband or the wife refuses conjugal rights to the other one. 1 Corinthians verse 7, chapter 7, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Verse 5. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement for a time, so that you may devote yourself to prayer. And come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Whew. I have a friend of mine who's a minister, and he had a nice church in West Palm Beach, and him and his wife got in a very prideful argument one time, and they decided to withhold their conjugal rights to each other. He would sleep out on the couch and she would sleep in the bed, and just seemed like a ridiculous argument turned into a year of sleeping on the couch. Prideful situation came up. This man was a minister and she was a minister's wife. The year turned into 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Finally, she walked up to him and says, I can't take this anymore. I'm divorcing you. And it destroyed him. And he went over the edge. He lost not only his wife, his family, but his ministry, his church, his congregation, his income. And what happened here is that because I'm going to reject you because you rejected me, I'm going to deny you because you denied me, turned into this ridiculous stalemate of who's going to forgive first. And we see that rejection could cause these things. You know, the only true way to get through this is to forgive the offending party. The only biblical answer to this is to forgive, forgive, forgive. Matthew 18, it talks about the steward that owed a lot of money. And I'm not going to go into that all, but down at the very end, it talks about Matthew 18 and verse 34, I think it is, and how God views it. Ah, let's go over there. I got the 12 right. Right. Matthew 18, verse number 22. Okay, verse number 21. Peter's asking Jesus a question here. And Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times. And Jesus said, if I do not say up to you 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Wow, it's a lot. It's 490. But, you know, that was like it threw them back. And then Jesus goes on to say, remember the context of the question. What was the question about? Forgiveness to somebody what? Who stepped on your toes, right? Who offended you? And so Jesus is saying, you got to forgive them a lot. And then he goes on to say, for this reason. What reason? Come on, family. Because of unforgiveness. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts. Then he goes, then Jesus starts to talk about this parable about this slave that owed a lot of money to the king. And he was brought before the king, and the slave, he fell down before the king and says, please forgive me, have compassion on me. And the king says, okay, you're forgiven of your great debt. And then that slave went out and grabbed the fellow slave that owed him pocket change, just a little bit. And he grabbed him and he says, pay me up what you owe me. And the fellow slave says, I can't. Please forgive me. And what happened is that he was thrown into debtor's prison by that wicked slave. Thrown into prison. And then when the king found out, he called for this guy and he summoned him, verse 32. And his lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have also had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And the Lord moved with anger and handed him over to the... Ouch! He was handed over by who? By God. God handed the unforgiving person over to demons or tormentors, torturers, until they should repay all that was owed him. And so will my Heavenly Father also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. Now we know that the heart is the intentions of man. We know that the heart could be switched to soul any time in the Bible. Your heart is the same thing as what's really inside of you, what makes you tick. And so what we're doing here is the Lord is saying, you've got to forgive from your heart. But you don't know what he did to me! They stole my house! They raped me! They robbed from me! You don't know what they did! I have a right to be mad at them. And then, your life, are you walking in the abundant life? No. Why? Because you're in torment. The devil's got you in torment. He's locked you into this prison. And the only way to get out of that is to forgive from your heart. And so, what the Lord is saying here is that there's some reasons why you're in torment are that way. Some reasons why you cannot get freed from this because you're holding on to that paradigm, that thought pattern, that false concept, that twisted thought that's in your head that said you have a right to be. But I forgave them already. I said I forgave them. I went up to the altar 4 or 5 times and on the fifth time I forgave them. But I still have this every time I think of them. Well, how about 490 times then? Huh? Huh? Keep on going with it until it's actually done. Forgive them. Forgive the person that backbit you. Forgive the person that stole your ministry. Forgive the person that took from you and wounded you and misused you and abused you. Forgive yourself if you didn't do something when you should have and you could have. And so there's other things that spring out of this, by the way. People are wounded often because of different things. Out of rejection comes springs bitterness and rebellion, self-pity and guilt, thoughts of unfairness. Escapism. No yawning here. That's a $5 fine. Right? It's not time yet to yawn. I'll tell you when. By the way, we're kind of like distantly, kind of like connected, related somehow. My Uncle Ernie, by the way, was here a couple of months ago or whatever. And that's her uncle too, but on the other side of the world, family type thing. Aunt Barbara is your cousin, and Uncle Ernie's she's your aunt, okay? And Uncle Ernie's my uncle, and they got married, so this is a family affair, by the way. It's a family affair. It's a thing. We're having fun here. So, And so, wounded people often become clever escape artists. By the way, I want to go on this for a little bit. They devise clever ways to escape life and its responsibilities by daydreaming, diving into the TV set, escaping through sleep. Anybody ever just want to stay in your bed and sleep? You're rejected. And so out of rejection, you just want to escape. And so you find this clever way to escape. And you dive into books and escape there, or you can turn the TVs and zone out for the rest of the day. And so as long as they stay in bed, you don't have to face the responsibilities of life. And so there's a lot of people that are in that position. They don't have to face the responsibilities of life because somewhere, somehow, they got wounded and they've got to go and hide and escape. And so out of this springs inferiority, insecurity, fears, hopelessness, defensiveness, judgmentalism, criticism, blame shifting, distrust, disrespect, hardness, perfection, false compassions, false responsibilities, material lust, sexual lust, self-promotion, attention, control, loss of identity, self-imprisonment, withdrawal, self-deception, abandonment, and unforgiveness. These are some of the things that spring out of this. Now, I'll go over those again when we come to deliverance because I know that some of you were squirming in your seat when I was saying those things. All right? Amos 2:9. Watch this. Amos 2:9. Come on, get your Bible. I don't hear pages turning. Did you bring your Bibles?
Yes.
$5 fine if you didn't, remember. All right. Amos 2:9. Yet it was I who destroyed the Amorite before them. That, you know, this is the Lord speaking to us. You know, he's talking about how he destroyed the enemies of Israel. Though his height, the Amorite, and whenever you find the anything of the ites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Jezebites, the whateverites that you find in the Bible, whenever you find, it's just like a demonic type of presence against Israel. And it's kind of like us. When we look at that, we look at the warfare between the ites and us, right? So through his height, the Amorite was like the height of the cedars, and he was strong as oaks. I even destroyed his fruit above and his root below. You know, when we go into deliverance, a lot of times we're just clipping off the fruit. We are. And I've always preached that if you really want long-lasting deliverance, get to the root problem of it and chop it out. Just like God did. He chopped these people out of the way, and they were no more a problem to Israel. And so, now let's look at the tree of rejection. All right, I'm going to look at a tree of rejection. I notice that there's a nice poster back there with a tree on it of rejection. The root first, that is how rejection started, and then we'll look at the fruit. I want you to carefully look at your emotions, how they were damaged. Now, as I've been speaking to you, the Holy Spirit has already started to work in you, and He's starting to reveal things that happened to you, hidden things that were pushed down, suppressed, that happened to you in your life, an incident that happened, a rejected. You know, your father or mother or somebody could have thrown something away early in your life that you really cherished and loved and caused rejection. It could have been something as simple as a toy that was really you really felt close to, or a shirt, or something, or do you understand what I'm saying? Oh boy, people are starting to talk. That means I'm doing good. It was a red shirt. Okay, it was a red shirt. It's the Holy Spirit, brother. Right? Could have been a towel, a blanket. Who knows? But whatever. Well, you know the. Do I have any amens to the blanket? Amen. Okay. Now you know. So it could. It could have been by caused by a damaged emotion, by a wound, and the Spirit takes up residence in this wound, and then we're going to address the wounds too, and what took up residence in the wound. Now, here's some of the causes, the root causes of rejection. Okay? Let's see. Here we go. As I'm saying this, please take mental note, because I'm going to say it. Then we're going to stand up. We're going to have deliverance over these very same things again. I'm doing it twice simply because the first time I wanted to slap the heck out of the devil that's in you when I say it. You hear? When I say it the first time, you're going to go, boom! Yeah, that's when it happened. That's when I started feeling that way. And then when we stand up to have the rejection, then you're going to know what to call out. Right? Praise God. All right. Physical disabilities which limit learning and ability or prevent from being active in sports. Spoiled or pampered child, a child who is criticized or over-disciplined or victimized or ignored or treated as a favorite. When parents persistently confront one another in front of the children, they create a feeling of rejection and insecurity. When children of one ethnic background are brought up entirely in a different culture, children who suffer from speech impediments caused by birth defects or have a lisp that is mimicked by others, parents who only speak to one another
through the children, make the children feel rejected. Yeah, you're starting to think now. You're starting to think of things that happen in your life. Your parents, you're starting to think about incidences. Being sent to a boarding school, sent away to go to school, and sent away from the home. Deep rejection can come in. Insecure and forced to go to a school away from your family, away from your friends. Being bullied, being unfairly treated or harassed sexually. A stern, legalistic, or over-disciplinary father. A weak-willed father. Apathetic, dominated by their wives. Parents who give more care and attention to one child because of sickness or injury, because rejection in another member of the family. Parents who say something derogatory to the child in the heat of the moment and afterwards regret it, but the damage has been done. And some of these things are, I hate you. I never loved you. I'd gladly give you away if I could. You're nothing. You're a bird brain. You're stupid. What? How can you act stupid? You know. Unfortunately, if we can get through this tonight, some of you may start to cry and weep over these memories that come to you. That's okay. You know, those are unfortunate remarks, but we're going to deal with that. Maybe that you were adopted and you felt rejected. Because no matter where you go, no matter how much love that you get, you're always rejected by your parents, your real parents. Physical, mental, verbal, or sexual abuse by parents, friends, teachers, or students in school. Alcoholism and one or both parents. Failure to be trusted or forgiven for wrongdoing. Some of you here were never forgiven. Some of you here were never forgiven for doing something wrong. Pressure. I'll never forgive you, somebody says to you. And that wound stays with you for the rest of your life until it's dealt with. Pressure in school, expulsions, being sent to the dean's office. Embarrassment caused by your parents' religious beliefs or odd behavior. She's getting deliverance and it hasn't even started yet. Praise God. Stay within earshot, okay? Right. Embarrassment caused by parents' religious beliefs and odd behavior. My daughter was fired because I'm a deliverance minister. And she worked for a Baptist church. And they didn't want any of that influence in their church. That caused rejection in my daughter. And for a long time, I had to talk with her how to deal, how to forgive. And that caused embarrassment, too. And a father showing more attention to or favoring a child's friend more than he does his own child. Ouch. A fire, earthquake, which damages or destroys the family home. A conviction, the conviction or jailing of a close family member will cause rejection. A sudden fall in family living standards caused by unemployment or bankruptcy by the breadwinner of the family will cause rejection. Financial meanness without just cause will cause rejection. That's right. I know a woman who had to beg for money from her husband to buy groceries, just to buy groceries. And what did you buy that for? What did you buy that for? How much do you need? And he'd always give her less than whatever she needed. And that caused rejection because he didn't trust her. And eventually that caused their divorce because of that rejection. Long periods of loneliness because the parents' disinterest in their activities are their life. Absence from the parents from the children's extracurricular or school activities, particularly in sports or social events. Some of you are remembering these things, aren't you? Poverty in the home, immigration problems, sickness, children who are constantly sick, usually drop below the average of the school average of achievement, and they can't attend school. That'll cause rejection. An overload of home responsibilities when the work is just dumped on you. Mary! Martha! Mary! Martha! Mary! Martha! You work! No, you work! No, you work! No, you work! Yeah. How come I have to work and she doesn't? Rejection. An overload of home responsibilities. A dominant parent causes rejection. intellectualism in the family will cause rejection. Highly academic parents find it very impractical to talk on a level where people can understand. And so sometimes children feel starved for affection and rejected by their parent if they have super intelligent parents. Communication problems. Marriages break up because of communication problems. That causes rejection. Unjust punishment. Severe or cruel unjust punishment. You remember when you were in high school or junior high and somebody threw a spitball and the teacher made everybody in the class sit. Oh. And it wasn't your fault. How about if you escalate that into other things in life that you didn't do it, but yet you were blamed for it, and that causes rejection in you too. You know, being whipped, tied to a bed, tied to a chair, and unjustly punished for something that you didn't do. Being locked in a closet, being locked away in your room could cause rejection. Now this one here, you're going to find this very humorous because this actually happened to me. Nickname, when people use your name or give you a nickname for your the way you characteristically look, like you're overly weight, you have here comes Four Eyes, here comes Flopsy, here comes Buck Teeth, here comes and they give a nickname to you. Here comes Skinny, here comes Fatso, here comes, you know what I'm saying? Here comes so and so, here comes Stinky, here comes, you know, I mean, people are cruel. I did spit, didn't I? Right. I'm glad you're way back there now. And so it can cause rejection in you. And what I was teaching on this in a Assemblies of God church last month. And I said, and here comes Big Nose Marzullo. And I gave this as an example, okay? And guess what happened? I blew my nose right after I blew my nose, and my nose started to bleed. You see, the devil took advantage of what I was saying, and then he bumped me in the nose. You know, and here I am teaching on rejection, and I've got this tissue up here, my nose is bleeding, and I'm calling demons out in the name of Jesus Christ. And you want to talk about feeling rejection? And here I am doing this, and you know, it's like everybody's looking at me, my nose is bleeding, I should go run and hide somewhere. And so the enemy tried to, you know, bring rejection on me by my insecure feeling about my own nose. This is a handsome nose, isn't it?
It's very handsome.
So anyway, I'm not going to let them do that to me anymore. So nicknames, they come in through nicknames and disabilities. Sometimes there's a learning disability, a mental disability, a physical disability. There's other factors, guilt and bad sexual experiences. This is true. I mean, we're adults, and some of you have gone through life not virgins, right? That's true. Nobody wants to admit to it, but it's true. You've gone through life, and you had sexual experiences, and bad things happen in your sexual experiences, and it caused rejection to come in. Now, I'm not saying that's, I'm not giving any credibility to that. I'm just saying it does happen. It did happen. And so abortions, whether they're planned or forced, cause rejection too. Resentment and bitterness come in as well. Inability to cope with menopause. I don't have that problem, but some others do. Right. So there's inability to cope with menopause. Embarrassment over some undesirable physical feature of your body, you know, that could cause rejection too. Rejection in love. A broken heart. How many here have fallen in love in your life and your heart was broken? Three people? Come on, I know. Everybody here has fallen in love with somebody, whether it be puppy love when you're in, you know, elementary school all the way up till now. You might have fallen in love, but because you were rejected, you put this wall up and you don't want love to come in anymore. Huh? Okay? And so becoming bedridden or dependent upon someone to help you, that'll cause rejection. Talked about long periods of unemployment, that'll cause rejection. Feeling of uselessness in retirement. Some people just go to Florida to die, don't they? I'm going to go retire, I'm just going to go die over there. I'll live out my last days in Florida or California or whatever. And they go and they just go to just to go and retirement. They feel useless now, their life is over. And so that causes rejection. When a husband is financially mean, it really does cause a problem. So please understand that. If you've been, if you're a wife in here, that has happened to you, or you're a husband in here, that will cause a real problem in your life. Here's other causes. Death, divorce, separation, unfaithfulness in a partner, mental or physical sexual cruelty, inability to bear children, poverty, a husband dies, and the widow finds no will. That'll cause rejection. Ouch. I know somebody that happened to. It caused a real problem. And so We see that those are some of the roots of rejection. And here's the fruit of it. This is what it produces. This is the profile of the person that is supposed to... What happens is that after you've been rejected, these things seem to appear in your life. This is what happens. Refusing to be comforted. Okay? Rejecting of others. You were rejected, so you're going to reject. Signs of emotional hardness or harshness. Skepticism. Doubt. Unbelief. Aggressive attitudes. Anger. Thoughts and acts of revenge, swearing, foul language, argumentativeness, stubbornness, defilement, rebellion, fighting, low self-image, inferiorities, insecurities, inadequacy, crushed ego, sadness, grief, sorrow, self-accusing, self-condemning, inability to be or refusal to communicate, being in a huff, fears of all kinds, fear of being rejected, fear of inability to cope, fear of inadequacy, fear of failure, fear of the dark, blocked goals, anxiety, worry, depression, uncertainty, hopelessness, negativity, low self-worth, despair, pessimism, regrettability, perfectionism. I'm going to stop at this word just for a second, perfectionism. All right? What happens in a person who's rejected is that because they were rejected, they have to be perfect. And so you go to their cupboard and you open up their cupboard and all the labels are facing in the right direction. And you go to their garbage can and you look and all the garbage is stacked the right way in the garbage. You go underneath their workbench and the workbench is spotless and clean. You go to their car and I know this, you know, when I say go to your car, I like clean cars, but sometimes people go overboard with their car. And the spotless in their car, you know, if somebody's got a clean car, it's always a sick mind. So when you go to the car and the car's spotless and you should see my car. I got junk everywhere in it. Hallelujah. And so perfectionism is a byproduct of that striving for performance, competition. You know, everything that's natural is okay, but when you go overboard in some of these things, it's like, you know, ouch, there's something there. Intense efforts to be perfect, attempting to please people all the time, independence, isolation, withdrawal, look at me syndrome, self-centeredness, self-protectiveness, self-indulgence, selfishness, self-justification, self-righteousness, self-idolatry. These are all fruits of what rejection is. My stuff, my attitude, my rights, me. This is all part of rejection, too. And criticism, judgment, envy, jealousy, covetousness, pride, ego, haughtiness, arrogance, inferiorities, low self-image, possessiveness, manipulation. That's my stuff. That's mine. That's rejection. It's all the fruit of rejection. And so you find Monty Multi wrote a book on arrested development. Go get it and read it. It's about rejection when you boil it all down. Emotional immaturity, perfectionism, disturbed. You got the book back there, don't you, brother? Right? Disturbed sleep patterns, insomnia. This is all rejection. Now, you ready? You want to get rid of this? All right. These are patterns. These are thought processes that came into you through wounds, whether the things that happened in life were real, imaginary, false paradigms, or whether they be actual truths that actually happened to you. They're still robbing you of your relationship with Jesus Christ and His rightful position in your life. Right? Now, say this with me. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He died on the cross for me. And He shed His blood for me. And the blood that He shed cancels and destroys every spirit of rejection, of condemnation, of guilt, of shame. And that blood is where I stand today. I stand in the middle of the blood of forgiveness, the blood of acceptance, the blood of Jesus. And that blood delivers me. Jesus' blood has set me free. Now, Lord, You were there when these things happen to me. Some of them are true, when the devil keeps hammering me. Some of them are lies. Some of them are false. And I'm not going to allow it anymore. I want life abundantly. And I take authority as a believer against these things. I stand on the scripture of Luke 10:19 that Jesus gave me authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm me. Over serpents, over scorpions, over Satan's lies, over his schemes, over principalities, over powers, over darkness, over kingdom forces of wickedness, of worldly forces of wickedness, and high places. He gave me authority over them. And I take that authority now. In the name of Jesus, standing in His blood, and I command every spirit of rejection that entered me at any time, from my generations back, from my mother's womb, to the present time. I take authority and command them to leave me now in Jesus' name. Everyone, just take a deep breath and blow it out. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. That's right. And as they're coming out, you're remembering the wound and the hurt, and you're remembering, and the Holy Spirit's bringing it to the front of your mind. I command out of me every spirit that causes me to not sleep, that disturbs my sleep patterns. Every spirit of insomnia, perfectionism, arrested development. Every spirit that says it's mine. Every spirit of possessiveness. Every spirit of pride, egotism, haughtiness, arrogance, inferiority, low self-image, criticism, judgmentalism, envy, jealousy, covetousness. I command those spirits that say, look at me. I command those spirits that say, that's mine. I command the spirits that make me withdraw, to isolate myself. I command those spirits that attempt to make me please everyone. I command those spirits that causes me to make intense efforts to please people. That driving spirit, that spirit of perfectionism, striving, performance, competition. I command those things, those spirits, to leave me now. In Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. Blow it out. Go in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Out. Cough it out. Go in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Out, out, out in Jesus' name. Out, out, out in Jesus' name. Every spirit of self-idolatry, that's mine. Criticism, pride, egotism, out. Every spirit of insomnia that disturbs your sleep patterns, go in Jesus' name. Out, 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 out in Jesus' name. I command out of me every spirit of regrettability. I should have done it. I could have done it. Every spirit of pessimism, hopelessness, despair, negativity, low self-worth, depression, hopelessness, blocked goals, uncertainty. Come out of me now. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Go in the name of Jesus. Out, 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 out in Jesus' name. Leave in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Get out. Get out, you accuser of the brethren. Get out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Out, rejection. Hallelujah. I command out of me every spirit of anxiety,
worry, depression, fear of failure, fear of not succeeding, fear of rejection, inability to cope, fears of all kinds, being in a huff, refusal to communicate, self-accusation, self-condemnation, grief, sadness, sorrow, inferiorities, insecurities, inadequacies, crushed egos, low self-image, self-rejection of all types, all kindred spirits of self-rejection. Go in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. Cough it out. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out. Out in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Out, out, out. Every spirit of low self-image. Go! Inferiority, sickness, grief, sadness. Go! 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 Out! Self-condemnation. Go in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out. Out in Jesus' name. I command out of me every spirit of rebellion, fighting, stubbornness, defiance, argumentativeness, swearing, foul language, acts of revenge, every spirit that would cause anger, aggressive attitudes, skepticism, doubt, unbelief, every spirit of hardness or harshness. Come out of me! Every spirit that causes me to reject others, refusing to be comforted, I command those spirits to come out of me now. In the name of Jesus Christ, take a deep breath. Cough them out. Go, go, go! In the name of Jesus, out, out, out. Stubbornness, argumentativeness, out. Emotional hardness, go. In the name of Jesus, leave. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, leave. In Jesus' name. I command out of me every spirit that causes me to be financially mean, to be stiff with my money. I command out of me a feeling of uselessness. A long period when I was out of work, I command that spirit of rejection to leave me. I command out of me every time a person called me a nickname and it wounded me. I command that spirit of rejection when they called me. Now name what they called you. Name what they called you, whether it be skinny, fatsy, fatso, dumpy, floppy, stinky, whatever they called you. Name that spirit that came into you then. Name it. Don't be in bondage any longer. Don't be in bondage any longer. In the name of Jesus, I command that spirit, that foul nickname spirit, to leave me now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. Cough it out. Go! In Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Out. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. I command out of me every spirit that entered me when I was unjustly punished, when I was punished and wounded by my father, by my mother, by my teachers for things that I didn't do. I command that spirit to leave me now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. Blood out. Go in Jesus' name. Unjust punishment. The spirit that came in when you were unjustly punished. Go in Jesus' name. Out, out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. I command out of me every spirit that came into me through sickness that caused rejection when I was sick, when I was not accepted because I had a sickness. Go in Jesus' name. Out, tuberculosis. Out in the name of Jesus. That's right. Herpes. Out in Jesus' name. When you received illnesses and sicknesses and you were branded, when you were branded with that sickness, go in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Out, 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 out. Hepatitis C. When you got that and you got wounded and branded by it, go in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. I command out of me every spirit that came into me when my parents did not show me affection and I wanted it and they should have given it to me and they didn't. I command that spirit of rejection out of me now in the name of Jesus. When they were disinterested in me, I command that spirit of feeling insecure, rejected by my father, by my mother, I command that spirit, when they called me nicknames, bird brain, when they said I was stupid, I command that spirit out of me now in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. When they said words that wounded me, when they did things that wounded me, and I loved my father and my mother, and they wounded me, I command that spirit out of me now in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Take a deep breath. Blow it away. Go! Rejection out from father, from mother. Go! Rejection when you were not approved, when someone did not pat you on the back, when you needed a pat on the back. Go! Rejection in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Out when your parents were legalistic and stern, overly stern, that spirit of rejection that entered you then. Go! In Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Out, out, when they showed more attention to your friends than they did about you. Go, that spirit of rejection, leave, in the name of Jesus Christ. And when you were raped, when you were molested, that spirit that entered you then, go, in the name of Jesus Christ. When your uncle, when your cousin raped you, when he molested you, go, in Jesus' name. Out, in the name of Jesus Christ. Out, in the name of Jesus. When you're wounded from an incident, when an incident happened in your life and you're wounded, go in Jesus' name. That spirit that entered through the wound, through the tragedy, through the mishap, go in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Out, out, out. Every spirit of false compassion, false responsibility. When you feel like it's your responsibility to take somebody underneath your wing and you find yourself doing it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And it's not your responsibility. It's not your responsibility. The devil's robbing you of your time. It's not your responsibility. You feel like you're obligated to serve that spirit that makes you feel obligated and forces you. I command that spirit of false compassion, false responsibility to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Get out in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Out, that spirit of rejection, when you're rejected by your elders, your leaders, your teachers, your pastors, when they rejected you, when they didn't return your phone calls, when they didn't return your response to them, that spirit of rejection, go in the name of Jesus, out in Jesus' name, out in Jesus' name, out, 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 when you were immoral and you had fornication, adultery, the rejection that sprang out of that, go in the name of Jesus. Out, insecurities and fears and hopelessness and defensiveness, leave in the name of Jesus. Judgmentalism, criticism, blame shifting, distrust, disrespect, hardness, out, perfectionism, go in Jesus' name. Out, every spirit of rebellion, 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 out in the name of Jesus. Out, that spirit that says, I'm going to escape. I'm going to escape into the TV set. I'm going to escape in the books. I'm going to stay in bed all day long. That spirit that says, I'm going to escape. That spirit that came in that way through rejection that makes you escape. Go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That won't let you have life and life abundantly because you're hiding. That spirit, go in the name of Jesus. Out, 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 out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out every spirit of unforgiveness, 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 unforgiveness. You, the one that's making you punish your spouse with that's right. That spirit that says, I'm going to punish my spouse. I'm going to deny them the marital rights. That spirit, I command that spirit to leave in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Start obeying the Bible. Give yourself to your spouse in the name of Jesus Christ. As the Word of God says, in the name of Jesus, I command out of you every spirit that uses manipulation and control and domination in the marital bed to cease now in the name of Jesus Christ and to come out of you in Jesus' name. Every spirit that does not appreciate, every spirit that makes you feel not appreciated, pushed aside, not welcome, made to look foolish, every spirit that makes you look foolish, every spirit that makes you look useless, out in the name of Jesus. Every spirit that makes you look ignored. Nobody sees you. You're like a vapor. You're invisible to people. That spirit, go in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Pushed aside. That spirit, go in Jesus' name. Rejection, rejection, rejection. Go in Jesus' name. Rejection, rejection, rejection. Go in Jesus' name. Every spirit that makes you feel useless, discarded, imperfect, unworthy, unacceptable. Go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more can He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more can He do? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, Jesus, thank You for Your love. Thank You, love. Thank You, love is perfect. Your love is perfect, oh God. Your love is perfect. Your love is perfect. Your love is perfect. It casts out all fear, all condemnation. It casts out it all, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. You're being healed. Yes, your minds are being healed at this time. Right now, the Holy Spirit, He's healing your mind. And Lord, we just thank You for touching our minds now. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Now this is going to be something I want to. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Yes, she's been healed. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Now, Father, we just thank You for touching us, for revealing where the problems stem from. But Lord, now we go one step further, and now we forgive. Now we forgive. Now we forgive. Now, I don't know how many times you said it and how many times, but here's what needs to be done. From the bottom of your heart, forgive everybody involved in that incident, those things that happened to you, those wounds, whether they be, forgive yourself if you should have. You know, if you have to agree with the devil, agree with the devil. Yeah, I should have done it, but the blood has saved me and healed me. You know, in that aspect. And now, if there's wounds that need to be healed, and here's how we're going to heal them. Lord Jesus, I ask that You heal my wound. I ask that You forgive me for holding bitterness in my heart, unforgiveness, resentment. I release and forgive. Now start naming people. Start. That's right. Name yourself. Good. Start naming people who wounded you. That's okay. When you do this, you're shutting the back door of the enemy. It can't come in anymore. Saying, I forgive so-and-so. I forgive so-and-so. I forgive so-and-so. I forgive so-and-so. I forgive. And Lord, that incident that happened. Lord, you know what happened. You were there. That's right. You were there. And I forgive him and I release him. And now I ask that You release him. I ask that You release him. All wrath, all anger, all clamor, all bitterness, all hatred, all envy, all jealousy, all resentment, all unforgiveness. Leave in the name of Jesus Christ and fill me with Your love for that person. Fill me with Your love for that person now, Father. That's right. Fill me with love for that person. I now receive love for that person. And now, Lord, I'm going to send it to the person. Right? I want you to raise your hands and say, I send this love to that person in the name of Jesus Christ. Whether they're living or dead, doesn't matter. I send love to that person. Now be released in the name of Jesus Christ of rejection. Be released in Jesus' name. Say, I take authority over my mind. All the false paradigms, all the false thinking that came, that was set up in my mind to make me view life's circumstances that happened to me and twist it and cause me to be imprisoned. that caused me to be in Satan's bondage, into his snare, doing his will. I pulled down those false concepts, those false precepts, those false philosophies. I pull them out of my mind in the name of Jesus Christ. These false paradigms leave my mind now in the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone just take a deep breath and blow it out. Go in the name of Jesus. False thinking, false paradigms. Go in Jesus' name. False concepts, false philosophies, worldly concepts. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. Lord, fill my mind with true thoughts, with truth. I now take authority over my mind and turn it in the direction of You, Lord, to face my destiny. I now face my destiny that I have with You without feeling rejected. I am going to be above because I am above. I will not be beneath any longer because I'm not. Now receive that truth in your minds in the name of Jesus Christ. Be free in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready? Ready, Freddie? All right, you're dismissed. All those that need some private prayer. And, yeah, we touched on some things here that we know. What's that? Your what? Your big toe? Paper towels. Oh, yeah, pass them up. We're going to use them for the next crowd. And God bless you, and if you need prayers.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.